Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come now to consider your word, we pray that you will guide us into your truth. We thank you for your promise that we have the Holy Spirit and that he will do that for us. And we pray that as we hear the truth, we may understand it and see how it applies to our lives and be willing to do it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I have a little thing here that is supposed to make things work, but at the moment it doesn't. Ah, it does. Thank you so much, people up the back. That's very good. We're dealing with a difficult subject this morning, men and women. And it's difficult because the whole of Proverbs is about men and women, and it addresses itself to how men and women should live, and in fact the whole Bible addresses itself to how men and women should live. We could talk about a whole lot of things and have been. But I want to concentrate this morning on what the book of Proverbs and the whole Bible has to say about relationships. Now again, Craig introduced that subject to us, and there's no way in which we could talk about everything that the Bible has to say about relationships. But it has a lot to say about it. And when we look specifically at what it says about men and women, it warns men about women in the book of Proverbs. The sheriff knows what I'm talking about here. That's good. It warns men about women. So you will think that we are talking a lot about women today, but in fact, it's more than that. The question that is often raised is... would be raised if this would work. Right. The question that is often raised is, does the Bible restrict women from reaching their potential? And a lot of people say that it does. But I want to say to you this morning that as I read the Bible, that is not true. It is true that in the Bible most of the leaders were men. That's not surprising in a patriarchal society. But when you look at those men and the way they're portrayed in the Bible, just about every one of them had a fatal flaw that was their undoing. They were not as great as they were supposed to be. And for many of them, that fatal flaw had to do with women. They were led astray through involvement with a woman. Consider Adam agreeing to his wife's proposal to disobey God. Or King David, drawn into illicit sex and murder by his desire for a woman. Or King Ahab, enticed into more and more wickedness by his wife Jezebel. Or Samson, who betrayed his people through his love for a foreign woman. And then there was Solomon, for whom and by whom the Proverbs were written. He could not resist the charms of what Proverbs calls the strange woman or the foreign woman. Our NIV obscures that meaning by translating it the adulteress or the wayward wife, but it's actually the strange woman. And to Solomon, it was the foreign woman. And of course, those foreign wives that he married led him to betray the trust that God had placed in him as king. The words of the wise in Proverbs were probably part of the teaching that Solomon had received as a young prince. They had warned him again and again to avoid being enticed by strange or foreign women. God repeatedly warned his people that liaisons with foreigners who did not worship God would be their downfall. But despite those warnings, foreign women were Solomon's downfall, as they were for Israel on many occasions. Now, the only problem with these women was that they did not belong to the people of God. And as God warned his people, partnership with them would compromise the faith of the people of God. And so it did, time after time. When the Israelites, some of them, returned from their captivity in Babylon and started rebuilding Jerusalem, some of them married foreign women who lived nearby. And Nehemiah, who led the return, rebuked them with these words: "Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign women." You see, Solomon was wise, but he was not consistently wise. Wisdom is a great thing. The Bible tells us, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. But you've got to ask God day after day after day. When Jesus says that to follow him, we have to take up our cross daily and follow him, he means that we have to determine each day to refuse the way of the fool, the old life, and to choose the way of wisdom, the new life, in Christ. By the way, God does not change his mind about such things. The apostle warns us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" God still warns us about liaisons with partners who do not belong to the people of God. For us, these are the strange women of Proverbs. It's obvious that you shouldn't commit adultery. The Ten Commandments teach it. The Bible is full of it. There are long sections of Proverbs that are adamant about it. In any case, in the Old Testament, adultery is always a symbol of unfaithfulness to God. And that is the real danger of unholy alliances: marriage outside the people of God. Of course, some people find themselves in such relationships, and then they need God's wisdom to handle that situation. Well, let's talk a little bit about what Proverbs says about relations between men and women. And the first thing it talks about is temptation. What does Proverbs say to young people? Well, I'm a bit sorry to say that it says a lot about young men being led astray by their own sexual desires. Somebody has put it this way: "The young men throughout Proverbs wander aimlessly, searching for the correct path, but falling prey to seduction." Here is one such passage from chapter 7. "I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant, her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, 'I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows, so I came out to meet you. I looked for you, and I have found you. I have covered my bed with coloured linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink deep of love until morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love.' With persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into the noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life." Have you ever heard of that happening to a young person? Paul warned Timothy, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Of course, nothing is different today. It's still a problem for young men. It was a problem in Solomon's day. It was a problem in Paul's day. It is a problem in our day. And I think increasingly it is a problem for young women as well as young men. Proverbs chapter 5 is all about the dangers of sex outside marriage. To be blunt, for young or old, single or married, sex outside of marriage is wrong, as far as God is concerned. But the reality is that most of us will be or have been tempted in this way at some time or another. Proverbs is also clear about that. So the first thing under this heading is that there will be a time when two people are improperly attracted to one another. The attraction is real, and that is why it is a temptation. I am not saying do not be attracted. The point is that you will be attracted or have been attracted. What I am saying is recognise what is going on. It has happened 1,000, 1,000,000 times before. So the wise man says in Proverbs 6, do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her catch you with her eyelids. Second, if that attraction does occur, you will probably be able to find a justification for what you both want to do. Proverbs warns in 6:24 about the strange woman or the wayward wife, the adulteress, with her seductive words. In chapter 2, he talks about her having a smooth tongue. The lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. Yet the other person, or you, will be able to talk each other into it, but it will still be wrong. In fact, Proverbs paints a most attractive picture of how these relationships start, worthy of any modern soap opera. And Proverbs does this not to titillate us, but to warn us that it is an attractive scenario. So don't be surprised, but be warned. That is why Paul advises Timothy to flee or run away from such temptations. Staying around is not the answer to that issue. Proverbs also talks about the consequences of illicit sex. According to Proverbs, if you fail to recognise what is happening and take a reality check, there will be consequences. Proverbs 6, verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes into his neighbour's mate. Whoever touches him or her will not go unpunished. And Proverbs spells out some of the consequences. In an extramarital relationship, you waste the investment of your existing or future relationship. You trample on an existing relationship and you diminish the potential of any future relationship. Proverbs 5:10. Strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. Money, property, family, loyalty, all go out the window in a sexual relationship outside marriage. And finding forgiveness is often difficult. There will be psychological consequences as well, and maybe material consequences. Depression, guilt, embarrassment, and loss of respect can accompany indiscriminate sex. How I have hated instruction, and my heart spurned reproof, and I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to their instruction. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. And in chapter 6:33, we read of the consequences being wounds and disgrace and shame that will never be wiped away. Not to mention that if the relationship is adulterous in the literal sense, there will be unpredictable consequences from jealous husbands. Proverbs 6, for jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse the bribe, however great it is. But there may also be personal, physical consequences. Proverbs 5:11, you groan at your latter end when your flesh and body are consumed. Sexual promiscuity is a sin against your own body, as Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 6, and all too often results in physical judgments like sexually transmitted diseases and HIV. Well, that's the downside of relationships. What about the upside? Godly relations between men and women. Throughout the Bible, it is clear that sexual satisfaction is not to be found outside the marriage relationship. But it is also clear that it is to be found inside that relationship. That is the one place where men and women may relate with the utmost intimacy, safety, and the blessing of God. So Proverbs tells us this is the way to go. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the street, your streams of water in the public squares? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Marriage is meant to be pleasurable, a fulfilling experience, a gift of God to enhance the male-female relationship. Well, we looked at how women had been the downfall of many great leaders and many young men. I'm not saying it was all the woman's fault at all. I made the mistake of letting my wife read this sermon before I gave it. I've never done that before. And I left home this morning feeling pretty depressed about what I was going to say. Because, of course, it's not always the woman's fault, although you may think it sounded a bit like that. It, of course, is pretty obviously the men's fault as well. But the Bible holds up for us many women as ideals. And the first thing that is striking about Proverbs is that wisdom itself is personified as a woman. Can you imagine that being so in a patriarchal society, that wisdom would be personified as a woman? Yet the Bible holds up many women as ideal people. Consider Deborah, for example, described as a mother in Israel. She was a prophetess, she was a judge, she was an ideal leader in Israel. Or Esther, who single-handedly, with great wisdom, albeit advised by her uncle, and at great personal danger, saved Israel. Or Ruth, who is displayed to us as an example of loyalty and faithfulness, and who became an ancestor of Jesus himself. Or Rahab, who, though a prostitute, trusted the God of Israel, took considerable personal risk to defend the people of God, and was saved. Or Abigail, that beautiful but abused wife, whose astuteness and discernment saved King David from his own foolishness. Or Pharaoh's daughter, who saved Moses and brought him up so that eventually he could lead God's people. In the New Testament, there's Mary, who trusted God implicitly for the birth of her child and was the first person to trust Jesus implicitly. There are the women who funded Jesus during his ministry and the women to whom was entrusted the first news of his resurrection. There were women who were partners in Paul's ministry, like Prisca, Paul's fellow worker, and Claudia, Nympha, who hosted a church in her house, Phoebe, the deaconess, Tryphena and Tryphosa, as well as the women like the daughters of Philip, who were prophetesses in the early church. Yes, there are many admirable women in the Bible held up as examples to us, but most notably in Proverbs, wisdom is a woman. She is all the things the strange woman, the adulteress, is not. And as such, wisdom represents God's will for our lives. Indeed, she is God in one sense, since we read that she was there with him at the creation and the world came into being through wisdom, through the word of God. Proverbs 3:19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. And Paul reminds us that Christ Jesus has himself become for us the wisdom of God. But the most remarkable woman in Proverbs is the woman in Proverbs 31, a passage that you must have heard many times. This woman is very unusual as we think of Old Testament women. She's independent, she's strong, she's generous to the poor, and most importantly, she fears God or obeys God. She is the epitome of all that has been said about the good woman in the preceding chapters of the book. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears it down. To have such a woman as a partner, as a wife, that is to be blessed by God. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds what is good and finds or receives favour from the Lord. To find such a partner is better than riches to a man. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. One of the first things said of this woman is that her husband has complete confidence in her. There is no doubt that she is a dutiful and faithful wife, but clearly she is also an independent woman. Look at all the things she does. In verse 13 of Proverbs 31, she is productive in her work. In verse 14, she provides and organizes her household. In verse 16, she arranges investments in real estate. These investments are profitable, and she invests the profits carefully. In verse 17, she's industrious and certainly not lazy. In verse 20, she is charitable and she looks after the less fortunate. She is a trader as well as a manufacturer in verse 24. In verse 26, she is wise and willing to advise others. Is she beautiful? The writer of this description says that that is irrelevant. What is relevant is that she fears the Lord. This is no dutiful wife toiling in the kitchen. She is capable in any area that is useful, and she receives praise from everyone. Verse 28, her children praise her. Her husband praises her. Very interesting, in verse 23, the elders of the city recognize that her husband is what he is because she stands behind him. And in verse 31, the elders of the city praise her. Well, she's the ideal woman. On the other hand, you've all read the verses about how awful it is to have an unworthy partner, how that brings misery into a man's life. Proverbs 19, a quarrelsome wife is like constant dripping. Proverbs 21, better to live on the corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Proverbs 19 again, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. Proverbs 27, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil in your hand. Well, when you think back to Abigail in the Old Testament, she had a husband who fitted all those descriptions. And these proverbs are meant for us to think about them so that we may gain wisdom. And as we think about them, it seems that they are equally true of men as well as of women. what have we seen about men and women and their relationships? First, that men are easily led astray by women. That is a fault in some women and a fault in most men, even great leaders. Secondly, the wisdom of God has no place for illicit relationships. God is a one-man, one-woman God. Sexual relationships outside such a commitment lead only to futility in the physical, emotional, and spiritual spheres of life. Thirdly, there are foolish men and there are foolish women. There are wise men like Solomon, but they may be led astray despite their wisdom, like Solomon. There are wise women, and they are able to realize their God-given potential in life, in partnership with their husbands, each having their own role. And fourthly, men and women are meant to work in partnerships based on wisdom, and that wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. For such partnerships to work as God meant them, both partners need to fear the Lord, recognize their own weakness, and seek his wisdom. Now that's difficult. If you have been in a relationship which is outside God's will, or if you are in a relationship where your partner does not seek that wisdom. But God is able to enable us to cope in such situations and to transcend them. And the Bible deals with that in other places. Out of all this, is there something that you or I need to reassess in our lives? Some attitude that does not line up with what we've seen in God's word? The Bible shows us that the parts men and women are called upon to play in life may not be very different from one another, but right relationships between men and women require wisdom based on the fear of the Lord, putting God first in everything. These relationships work best when each partner is seeking God's wisdom for their lives every day. Will you pray with me that God will help us to be like that? Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to have right attitudes to people of the opposite sex, whatever our relationship to them is, and that you will help us to demonstrate the purity of your love in Christ Jesus in the way we relate to each other. And we ask this, that our lives may glorify the name of Jesus. Amen.